said amen and amen. So I want to back up a little bit. We've been talking about the overall context of our Bible study has been on worship and what worship means and the reality of the fact that worship is more than just singing. What when the average church person comes to church and they hear Kathy at the piano and the praise team or a choir or whatever singing or Kathy by herself, and there are spiritual songs or choruses or hymnals that are being presented and saying, in most people's eyes, that is the conclusion of worship. That is the entirety of worship. That's what worship is. It's some a person seated at the piano or on a guitar or whatever, singing songs and playing an instrument, and the congregation is being led through that into what we call worship. Am I close? But worship is so much more. In fact, for the last several months, we've been looking at what it really means to worship. And we've discovered that worship has more to do with many other aspects of the service than just the singing. You worship the Lord in your tithe, in paying your tithe and giving offerings. That's part of worship. Worship includes so many different things, and we've talked about them through the last number of months. And right now, we're looking at how it is that the gifts of the Spirit are to be used for worship. And used in worship. And last week we had a great Bible study on this. And so again, just to bring us up to speed, I want to back up a little bit and pick us back up. And we talked about the word manifestation a little bit. We've talked about what manifestation means, and it means to be openly and publicly seen. The gifts of the Spirit should be openly and publicly seen. How many of you know oftentimes the church feels, or the church sometimes holds back on the manifestations, I guess, is the word of the gifts. Even in a church service, I was asked on Sunday, does this church ever have a prophetic word given through tongues and then that have that word interpreted by someone else? I said, yes, that does happen. We are a Pentecostal church. We are a full gospel church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says that every child of God has been given at least one gift of the Spirit. But the reality is, church, we have to understand that the gifts that we've been given are not for us. They got nothing to do with us. I got a stainless steel canister on my stove. You could put lemonade in it. You could put wine in it. You could put stew in it, for crying out loud. You could cook a pot of beans in it. But in my house, it's primarily been set apart for the heavenly role of making coffee. Glory. It's Hebrews. It's a biblical thing. I do the coffee cooking, so Hebrews, all right? Me and Dennis teamed up on that. Did you know that? Did you pick? Me and Dennis was a team right there. That coffee pot can be used for anything. It ain't about the coffee pot. It's about what I want to do with the coffee pot. I've got cast iron skillets at my house. They're primarily used for cooking eggs and potatoes and bacon and that kind of stuff. But you can cook chicken in it. You can cook cornbread in it. It's what happens with those instruments is dictated by whoever's in charge of those instruments. And when you and I have been given gifts of the Spirit, it's not for you to decide. It's for God to decide in you, through you, to use you for the manifesting of His gifts, to be openly and publicly seen. The gifts of the Spirit are to be openly and publicly used, and they are to be manifest to the church. That is, used to edify the church. And we talked a lot about this word edify. It kept coming up. What does it mean to edify? Lift up, encourage, or build up. The gifts of the Spirit should help you and edify and lift you up and encourage you. We had a young man in our church back in Utah, and his way of thinking was a little different from mine, and he would come and he would give me these words that God had given him, but the words that he would give me didn't match, they didn't bear witness with my spirit, nor did they be backed up in Scripture. And so I called him on it one time, and after a long period of time of it, and it just kept getting more and more intense all the time, and finally I said, look, I gotta have a meeting with you. And I called a meeting, and some of my leadership came together with this person, and we began to talk about some of this stuff, and the key comment that came out of that meeting was he used Scripture and he said, listen, you need to understand, because there was conflict between us. And he said, well, you need to understand that iron sharpens iron. How many of you know that's biblical? How many of you know that sounds really good in the midst of an argument? Iron sharpens iron. And you know what the Lord did? He's quickened me just like that. And he said this to me. He said, the Lord said to me, iron does sharpen iron. Hammers are made out of iron. And if you take a hammer and beat on the edge of a sword, it will dull the sword. Used incorrectly. If iron is used correctly in that process, yes, iron will sharpen iron. But when it's used incorrectly, it can dull the iron or break the iron. And that changed the entire mood of that meeting. And we came out of that meeting with compassion for one another. And the next Sunday, I think it was the next Sunday, I washed him and his wife's feet in front of the entire congregation. Do you remember that? Craig and Wendy. Is it Craig? You were in that meeting. And we're still friends today. I mean, I haven't seen them in good Lord who knows how long, but we would be cordial at least. See, the prophetic and gifts, words of wisdom and those kinds of things, they need to edify. They need to build up the church. Listen, the world does plenty of tearing the church down. When we come together as family, as brothers and sisters, we ought to be lifting one another up. We ought to be leaving this house going, man, I'm glad I was in the house of the Lord today. I'm glad I was able to sit with my family today and just, I mean, you ought to be able to come into this place with the weight of the world probably on your shoulders and leave here, or at least some point during that time being able to draw a breath and release it and just go, amen. I mean, I think that's what we ought to do, so that the gifts of the Spirit ought to be manifested to the church and used to edify the church. Also, the gifts of the Spirit should be openly and publicly manifest to the world. To the world. In other words, used to benefit the world in reaching the lost. Now listen, I'm not telling you that you probably need to go out and stand somewhere and prophesy over people. You're going to hell. Amen? The truth is, that's probably right if they're not serving the Lord. But how many of you know that's probably not going to get you very many converts? But if we will listen to the Lord, listen to the voice of the Lord, which is when you listen for discernment, that's part of the gifts of the Spirit. And God says, you know what? You need to speak to that person about my love and about what I've done in your life. And all of a sudden, now you're in a conversation with somebody and you're able to speak to that person being used of the Spirit. And if you'll listen, He'll tell you what to say and encourage you, and you encourage that person. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going out and, you know, and you're going to hell and you're going to hell, and you know that's not what I'm talking about. Amen. Yeah, yes, that's true, because I've received that. Listen, would you just, I'll take care of it over here. I'll do. You know, I've thought about that. In fact, Mike and I were talking about that just the other day. And I must be a threat to him. Because if I'm going to put something on my wall, it's going to be something that I really value as a trophy. And the thought of the enemy wanting to put my head on his wall and mount it as a trophy, I must be something important or valuable to God's kingdom in order for him to have that level of desire to have. Because listen, I'm fixing to go. I've been hunting for the last month, and I've been looking for that one. I mean, I put miles in my I burn a little bit of diesel in my pickup in case my wife is watching. I could have, but I didn't, because I'm looking for that one. So if I put myself in that category, it's not near as bad of a deal for me all of a sudden. It's perspective. The gifts of the Spirit have been given to every man. Again, man is not a gender-specific term. He's talking about man as a whole. Not only they're not only given to the educated and to the understanding. If you were here on Sunday, you heard what I had to say about my own personal education. I'm not an educated man as far as books go, but I've learned a thing or two. I've experienced a thing or two. I've been through a thing or two. Every believer is given some spiritual gift by the Spirit of God, and it was given to that person because it is needed, listen to me, within the church and the world, and it's needed to help in the ministering to people and to reaching the lost for the gospel and for the glory of Almighty God. That's what the gifts are for. The church in Corinth was manipulating the gifts. They were bragging about who got what, and look how cool I am. It's got nothing to do with that. The list of the different gifts that have been given were given to show just how diverse the gifts of the Spirit really are. He can gift any person, you or me, as He wills. And the gifts are many and the gifts are varied. And the truth is, the Scripture has not got an exhaustive list of what those gifts are. The reality is, it's only a partial gift, or list, rather. But the unity of the gifts is re-stressed over and over. The point is critical for the church to learn and to practice, and so because of that, it's repeated. All the gifts are covered, gifts that we have covered or are covering, are given by the one and the same Spirit. We read through that in the Scripture. God's gifts do not come from any other source. Period. They come from the Holy Spirit and Him alone. True spiritual gifts can't be earned. They can't be merited. They can't be worked up by men. No man, not one of us, deserves the gift of the grace of God, which is the greatest thing that we've ever been given. And none of us, regardless of how good we are or have been, listen, I had a guy tell me one time that, because I had shared my testimony, and this was really before I was really what I would consider a believer. I mean, I had given lip service. I'd went to church. I'd done this and that and the other thing. But to say I was born again would be a stretch. And I had told this guy my testimony a little bit of my life and things. And he said, my daughter, she doesn't even have a testimony. And I said, really? He goes, no, she doesn't even have a testimony. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, he said, you know, she's like 18 or 19 years old, and she's been in church her whole life. She gave her life to the Lord when she's like 7 or 8 years old, and she's been in Sunday school and missionettes and, you know, whatever, you know, the whole deal. And, you know, she's never been in drinking, and she's never smoked and never done drugs, and she's, you know, she's never been sleeping around. She's still a virgin, and she's still waiting for God to bring her the right man. And I looked at that dude and I said, you tell me she ain't got a testimony? I said, that is the absolute greatest testimony I've ever heard in my life. To have a testimony like mine and to say that I have a great testimony compared to her testimony, that is just utter foolishness. To have a testimony that said, listen, I've stayed true to God my whole life. I never went to this way or to that way. I just had my mind stay. I'd made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord. And for somebody to say that is not a good testimony is off their rocker. About a half a bubble off a plum. That is the greatest testimony that we could ever even... I can't imagine that. In fact, I remember getting in trouble when I was in high school, and they said it will be expunged from your record when you turn 18 if you don't get in trouble again. And I was about 16 at that time, and I'm thinking, how in the world can I go 2 years without getting in trouble? Those were the thoughts that I had. And Judy knows me back then, and I was right. But I made it. And it's not on my record. I don't guess it is. It doesn't matter to me now. But I'm just telling you. For 2 years, I go, huh? I did. It ain't on my record no more, all right? Let's just leave it at that. I don't think. I was scared out of my mind. I don't think I got in trouble anymore. Because I was scared. I was really scared. When they call your dad and he's at work, and he has to leave work to come get you, if you know anything about my dad, you know I'm in trouble. Parts of me. In fact, I'm still trying to cool down. Anyway, no man, not me, not my dad, not any of us, no man deserves the gift of the grace of God. So there's no room, in light of that, there's no room for self-importance or super spirituality or really for controversy. One believer has one gift and another believer has another gift, but both have come from the same Spirit of Almighty God. The fact that you have a gift from God ought to just be like, woo! Amen? So the Spirit of God endows the gift to every man exactly as He wills. He wants every one of us to have something of Him. Have you ever had a good friend? And that good friend was going to go away or go to the military or move across the country. And you have some little trinket. And you give that friend this little trinket just because they mean that much to you. And you want them to remember you. And God has given us at least a trinket to be used for Him, so that we ought to remember what He's done for us. He knows what gifts you need. He knows where those gifts are needed. And He realizes that He has placed you, I said this on Sunday as well, but He has placed you in time and space and geographically for such a time as this. Think about that. of all the time you could have been, I mean, you could have been a caveman. You know, I don't know how long this thing's going to go, but the way technology's going, you know, you could have been born then. I have a hard enough time now. I can't imagine. I mean, I wanted to be in the Wild West days. I'd be dead by now, but somebody would have shot me, I'm pretty sure. But God knew exactly what He was doing, Ron, when He put you here for such a time as this. Think about that. Think about the awesomeness of that. He knows exactly what gifts will edify, build up, encourage the church. Most of what gifts can be, and let me say this right. He knows what gifts will edify the church most. Edify the church most, comma, and what gifts can be used effectively to reach the world and to minister to the desperate needs of all mankind. So He meets the needs of all the believers in our respective calls and locality. He has specifically designed gifts that He's put in each one of you to reach this city. Don't tell me we can't reach this city for the glory of God, because He has equipped you and I. He's already equipped us with what we need to reach this place. He meets the needs of all believers. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. Do you even know that? Do you even realize that? The battles that you and I face, and I would assume that I'm not the only one in this place that faces any kind of battles. We go through these battles because the enemy wants to keep us down. The enemy will use anybody or anything that he can to keep you and I from getting... Because listen, if we catch our on fire, I mean, if we just get fired up and just start burning, amen? If we really catch on fire for the Lord, people will come just to watch us burn. They will. They'll come. So along with the manifestations of the Spirit, He comes to guide you and I as His people into all truth through the Holy Spirit. How many of you realize tonight the Holy Spirit was sent and given to us to guide us and to comfort us and to be a counselor for us? That's why He was given. He watches over us. John 15 and 26. This is what it says. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. Isn't that amazing? Do you see the reference in that verse of Scripture of the Trinity, of the triune Godhead? But when the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I, that's Jesus, will send to you from the Father. That's the triune Godhead right there. That's the Trinity wrapped up in one verse. Who proceeds from the Father. Again, there's the Father. He is capitalized. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will testify of capital M, me, talking about Jesus. Twice they refer to in one verse of the Trinity. Once again, Jesus is offering hope. The Holy Spirit gives strength to you and I to endure the unreasonable hatred and evil in our world and the hostility that many have toward Christ. Watch the campaigns for political office on the TV right now. It's nothing but the devil at work. Do not vote for this person. Do you realize that this person, if you vote for that person, this person has already said that they will sign into legislation that you cannot kill an unborn baby. And doctors are getting on there saying, we could go to jail if this person gets it. It's like, you probably should be in jail. But that's the mentality of the world today. They're trying to paint anything God as evil and anything evil as absolutely fantastic. And it's not. Where am I? Listen, if you can't look around and see that this world is filled with evil, you need some different glasses. When I went to school, when I hauled your kids to school, I had a gun in my car or in my truck. Everywhere I went, every kid in school did. And you know what? We never shot nobody. When the teachers told us to do something, that's exactly what we did. We didn't tell them to take a leap. No, because we were taught respect. We were taught the value of respect. I still have respect. I still respect my elders. I'm an elder myself. But I still respect my elders. There are people, I'm 63 years old, and there are people that I still refer to as Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. Have you ever run into one of your school teachers and tried to call them by their name? I just couldn't do it. I just wouldn't come out. Because that was Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. Couldn't do it. The Holy Spirit gives strength. He will undergird us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, after the Holy Ghost comes, we will be endued. That word endued means it will be put upon us. It will be put in us. Power. Dynamite power. The Holy Spirit will give us strength and power to endure the unreasonable hatred and evil in our world and the hostility that many have toward Christ. And it's especially comforting for those that face persecution. Jesus uses two names for the Holy Spirit. The first one is Advocate. The second is the Spirit of Truth. An advocate is a lawyer, like a lawyer, an attorney. He advocates for us in heaven. And he's the Spirit of Truth. The word advocate conveys the helping and the encouraging and the strengthening work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth points to the teaching and the illuminating and the redeeming, or the reminding work of the Spirit. I'm so grateful for this aspect of the Holy Spirit because it means that I don't necessarily have to memorize every verse of Scripture. If I will just put it in, if I'll spend time reading God's Word and meditating on God's Word and listening to God's Word, when the time comes when I need to use that, the Holy Spirit will remind me of the Word of God. He will bring it back up. But listen, if you don't have it in there, He can't bring it up. I mean, He could, but the reality is we need to put it in. The Holy Spirit ministers to both the head and the heart, and both dimensions are important. Amen? It's 7 o'clock. All righty then. So the Spirit would come to the disciples and tell them about Him. The Spirit will tell you about who He is and what He's done. I can tell you, and Mike can tell you, and those of us that have walked in the Spirit can tell you what He does. The way He has protected, the way He's watched over us. And the disciples were the vital link between Jesus and all subsequent believers. Aren't you grateful that you have God's Word tonight? Listen, we need to quit taking it for granted. There could come a day when they take it away from you. They are taking everything else away. Don't think for a second that they aren't coming for your Bible. And if you don't have God's Word hidden in your heart, you're going to be in trouble. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us so that we can preach and so that we can teach and so we can write sermons and discipleship courses and worship and spread the truth of the gospel. Every one of us are going to be held accountable for what we have done with God's Word. Every one of us are. All Christians are called to testify. Let me back up and say this. By application, this verse extends to all Christians. That's pretty much what I just said. All Christians, say all. Does all mean you? So you ain't getting out of here tonight innocent. You're all going to be guilty of being Christians. And so by being a Christian, you are called to testify of Jesus. You're called to testify of Jesus. You're called to allow the Holy Spirit to help you through times of persecution and to remind you and I of the truth of God's Word and let Him work in our heart and our mind and also of those that we are able to minister to. God will minister to you, to them, into them, if we'll let Him. I'm stopping right there. He is the Spirit of truth. What you hear from God through His Holy Spirit, I promise you, is truth. It is truth. It is for your betterment. When I was told in no uncertain terms that I'm going to go to hell if I don't change the way I'm living and the things that I'm doing, you're going to go to hell. That was a truth. And in that moment, and probably only in that moment, I received that, and it was the best news that I had ever heard. Because in that moment, something changed in my mind and in my heart. But you can't just walk up to somebody on the street and say, listen, you're going to hell. If you don't change, it's probably true. I mean, it could be true. But that's not the greatest evangelistic method out there. Where? Yeah, I don't think you probably have. You might have been through some rough stuff, but you've not been to hell. And there's nothing. There's nothing there that we want. But God will use us if we'll let Him. And I don't mean to sound mean-spirited or any of that, but we are. If what I said earlier is true, and I absolutely believe that it is because it's in God's Word, that every one of us have been given a gift. Every one of us then are going to be held accountable for that gift. You say, Pastor, I don't think that I've been given a gift. Do you have a Bible? Because if you have a Bible, you have a gift. If you have salvation, if you're saved, you have a gift. You have the greatest gift known to man, the gift of grace. Sunday night, I didn't preach Sunday night, we prayed Sunday night. Because sometimes, as a pastor, I get frustrated. Because I want everybody to be as excited about being in church as I am. You know what I was accused of Sunday? You're the only other one that knows this. I was called a churchaholic. You're a churchaholic. pretty much. Pour me another one. Set them up. I never thought of that. I just thought when church was church, you're supposed to go to church. Especially if you're like the pastor. Probably should be at church. No, got to make sure that they still work. I guess I am a churchaholic, but you know what? There's just something about Jesus. He only is asking for one day a week. I mean, in a technical sense. He wants us every day, all day, but He only had us set aside one day for Him. And people in the world have a hard time even doing that. And so I guess I'm a churchaholic. But that's all right. I love Jesus, and I've been addicted to other things. But I'm finally addicted to something that will give me life instead of kill me. Think about that. Amen? Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. It's not my church. Yeah. Let's pray, church. Father, I pray, God, tonight that we would all be churchaholics. God, I pray tonight that every one of us would get... You said in Matthew chapter 5, you set out some things. You said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Talking about the two key elements in sustaining our life. Food and drink. And blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. God, I pray that you would, in every one of us, those that are here, those that are not here, I pray, God, that you would give us an insatiable appetite and an unquenchable thirst for more of you, God. God, that you would just get a hold of our hearts. Get a hold of our lives. Lord, help us to honor you in everything that we do, in everything that we say, and everywhere we go. God, I love you. I love you. I know what the person meant when they said that I was a churchaholic. But God, I'm glad that I'm a churchaholic and don't like to miss church. I love your people. I love your people. And I love you. And one day, should you tarry, one day I hope and pray that I can stand before you and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. If I hear that, the rest of it's okay with me. I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great week. Ladies, we'll see you tomorrow morning. Amen. For women to women. Men. Oh, choir practice tomorrow night. It's not too late to sign up and be a part of that. Choir practice tomorrow night. Friday night, men for men only. 6:30. And church again on Sunday.